It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM, and iHeartRadio. We're here to discuss mental health and wellness. If you have any questions or comments, always feel free to give us a call on the Origin Bank hotline at 318-324-1500. I'm your host, Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zentner. How are you today, Dr. Z?
I'm doing great, but you know, if you're going to call yourself Scott Shelby, call me Scott Zentner. And if you're going to call yourself Dr. Shelby, call me Scott Zentner, too. I'm not practicing medicine in here, but that's okay. How are you doing?
Maybe just a light brain surgery here today.
Yeah, just finished up a little while ago. Actually, we have a guest who has a relationship with someone who's a brain surgeon coming on today for the second time. But before we go there, how was your Valentine's Day a couple nights ago?
Oh, it was very lovely. Very lovely, Z. I was hoping you'd be my Valentine, but you just didn't come through
it's
for
so
me.
So sweet. Yeah, well, I heard you cook dinner, and your cooking's a lot better than mine. We say the blessing after the meal when I cook, but
that's true. I've had some meals that you've cooked before.
I took my wife to a Mexican restaurant, which is unusual for Valentine's Day. I couldn't pass up the deal. I saw the sign out front: 25% off if you bring your girlfriend, and 50% off if you bring your wife. And if you bring both, it was 100% off. Fortunately, it was just my wife, but we had a good time. It's one of the few places that wasn't packed, and we didn't have to wait.
Yeah.
So we had Cinco de Mayo on Valentine's Day.
Nothing wrong with that, Dr. Z.
But let's get to our guest.
I'm real excited. Ever since we had Greg Greer on last time, it's been several months, and it was very it was a fun episode, very informative, and we're happy that he's set aside some time where he could come and share some more about his work he's doing, working with individuals that are struggling with addictions. So, Greg, welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back.
Oh, man. Look, let me ask you, if I could, how may I address you? What, Dr. Z, Dr. S, where do I go with this?
I like to be called Scott.
Scott. Well,
just call me Z.
That's Scott fine. And Z, since so I can differentiate you guys.
That's right.
All right, good deal.
Well, we're glad to have you, really. You left out, in addition to being very informative, this guy's quite an entertainer. And
he was a stand-up comedian at one time. Is that right?
I did. I had to step down from that job. I wasn't as funny as you, Z.
No, listen. Oh, gosh. I would bomb immediately if I ever had the nerve to do anything like that. But, you know, for those who didn't have the pleasure to be able to hear you the first time, why don't you give us a background? You have a very interesting background that led you to this field. And,
okay.
You know, from what got you interested in addiction work and, you know, your education and your work experience and what kind of things you're doing now.
So the short version is I actually worked in radio, TV, film decades ago. I went to school at that time, NLU, and that was for radio, TV, film. And I worked in the morning shows and commercials, and I moved out to Los Angeles, and I lived there for 12 years. I did stand-up comedy. I wrote a few plays that were produced, et cetera. And then I am a recovering alcoholic, or recovered alcoholic, and they say it differently. So I ended up being hospitalized a number of times, and after that, found myself going through treatment and then ended going to school. Now, when I went to school, though, I thought I was going to be the next Dr. Frazier. And after the television show, and that was what I wanted. I didn't want to work with alcoholics. I didn't want to work with addicts. I wanted to get as much education as I could and still continue to drink and still have that lifestyle. And so graduate school, I have an MSW from LSU, So if there's any Tigers in the room, you know, go Tigers. And then I became a LMSW, and I worked for the state. I also worked for Our Lady of the Lake in Baton Rouge. It was an 855-bed hospital in the emergency room. There was my role. And
it's
then,
a hopping place.
Wow. Man, I worked graveyards. That was something else. Working graveyards in the ER. That's an experience that all clinicians should
have.
One
year there is like 10 years anywhere else, isn't it? I mean, just the incredible volume and diversity of people that you see in a setting that.
Yes, I felt very educated after. Then I found myself again hospitalized because of my own drinking. And therefore, after that last treatment, found myself working in the field of addiction. As I was informed by another colleague, Greg, if you don't work with alcoholics and addicts, you're going to die. And that's the kind of consumption that I did in my past. So then I worked in several different treatment centers. Long term, I've been with Palmetto Addiction Recovery Center. And then recently I was offered a clinical director with it's called Red Hill Recovery in Delhi. Now, many people know the mansion, Red Hill Mansion in Delhi. It's now a 11-bed residential facility that offers different modalities with a group doing professional assessments, et cetera, doctors, nurses, attorneys, et cetera. Anyway, and we have some other offer group modalities that are some along with Palmetto using the same psychology team. That I have my private practice called Voices of Recovery, which I do group and I do individual and family work for those working to develop their relationships more healthily versus the codependence that does occur in the field of addiction, or I call it relationships in addiction. I think the stand-up comedy bit, you know, that goes back years ago. I still do it. I use it in my practice. I work contract work at treatment centers to help build motivation for your clients to participate. I do that well with families to also help them engage with the process, because if they don't engage, we're not going to get anywhere. No, there's not any productivity.
Well, you know, Dr. Z, you can tell that Greg brings an intensity in his work, and he's passionate about this. And I definitely know that when he's working with those individuals and groups, a lot of that personality and his background in stand up and acting and such, it plays a part in a particular type of therapy that you're involved in now called soul drama. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, absolutely. So I didn't get involved with soul drama until 2014. I was in Boston. And doing a workshop, I was doing a workshop where I met the founder for a three-hour workshop, and I was very intrigued with this model. It was a specific spiritual model that addressed codependency that correlated with the 12 steps. And the soul drama uses what's called psychodrama to engage the group process with action. So those in recovery call it an action program, and therefore this they call it an action therapy, action model. And so I started engaging it, thinking what this might be. I went to the founder's home in Florida, and then I said I want to bring this to Louisiana, because there's so few individuals that are interested in this, and I think that's because it's a cultural process. Internationally, Brazil, I've done this in Greece, Bali, Indonesia, people thrive with developing further with this process, whereas our egos, and culturally speaking, to engage in this is something that's amazingly too scary to actually participate. And I can talk more about that, which is what I call the ego, because it's called soul drama, and the ego is the altar to the soul.
You know, anytime you can expand with another creative approach to reach people when perhaps some of the more conventional types of treatments have not been successful. Boy, I'm interested in hearing more about that. I think we're coming up on a break, but if Greg can stick with us.
I'm sticking, man. I'm sticking.
And we hope the audience does too. We'll be back in just a few.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour right here on KMLB 540. Dr. Z, we're just having a very interesting conversation with Greg Greer, and we had a brief introduction to one of his therapeutic modes that he uses called soul drama, and looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that approach and how that's helpful.
I want to start off, by the way, welcome back, everybody. I want to start off by saying I am diagnosed ADD, Dr. Z. So anytime you guys need to redirect me, please do, because I'll go there.
I can see how, with all of your interests, that actually does not disable you, but probably serves you well.
I'm able to multitask quite well because of it.
Yes, if you actually did psychological evaluations on typical ER physicians in this country, you'd find that about 75% of them probably have ADHD. And if you treated it as we treat ADHD with medicines, they wouldn't be as good at it. You know,
I'm
they can multitask well, and they focus for short periods of time, but they're also hearing what's going on in the right ear, left ear, and what they're seeing all through the ER. So I think it's a real attribute.
So you support the thesis that I stated about having an ability there. Fantastic. So I do group work. Doing group work is about being aware of all group members and body language, interactions, receptivity. I am a certified group psychotherapist with American Group Psychotherapy Association, which is where I first met the founder of Soul Drama, Connie Miller, and then have further education with her work in Florida and now here in Louisiana. So Soul Drama, what is Soul Drama? It is a spiritual approach that uses psychodrama to help facilitate identifying codependency and dependency, which is what I consider our love languages that began around the age of five through traumas of how we wanted love from our parents. And these patterns develop further as we went into our teenage years to identify who we think we are. Who am I anyway? And then where we go from there. And what's really amazing is almost 49% of the world's population never go further than that because they never really developed an identity. And if I don't develop an identity, how can I have true intimacy? Because I'm codependent on validation from you. And if my happiness is contingent upon you, I can't be happy. Well, then I don't have an identity. Because I love the way songs today and all the way back to the 50s, how they cultivate codependency, like you're my everything. You know, if you're my everything, then what does that make me? I'm nothing. So it's about developing some interdependence so that I can have self-love. So soul drama. Soul drama is about identifying what does the ego, what is the ego? And similarly to, I guess, what you call 12-step programs, because it correlates, is it walks through seven doors. We call these light messengers. Now, we used to call them angels back in the day because it specifically was seeking God. Now, in the South, I think this does very well. However, internationally, there are so many thoughts about what is your perception of God, angels, and especially with the alcohol community or alcohol community, they don't want to be told anything about God. So we just named them light messengers because angels made too much of a reference to God. So these doors each represent a phase of walking through learning more about yourself. And if I'll be brief about it, like the first door is the door of faith, and the gift of faith is trust. However, in order to get that gift, you have to overcome what's called giving up control. So I may have faith, but what does trust look like? Well, when I give up the control and I actually see it, seeing is believing, oh my gosh, now I trust it because it's happened. And most people won't trust you until you have earned their trust. So that's why we say that trust is a gift. Faith is blind faith, that we just take a leap of faith and see what happens afterwards. The second door is actually the most difficult door. That is the door of clarity. And the gift of clarity is truth. What is truth? That is overcoming the roles that no longer serve us. And ultimately, in a short version, this is what soul drama is all about. We're going to identify the roles that we defined when we were children. So how did I seek love? Because around the age of 5 or 6, most of us have, and I call it a little trauma, and it could be a temper tantrum or it could be a severe trauma. But how did I seek the love that I wanted? Men wanted love from their dads, mostly, typically, or daughters wanted their love from their moms. And how did they seek it? How did they get that attention? Because the children's, we learned what messages? Children are to be seen, not heard. Or if you're an adult child of an alcoholic, you took care of your mom or your dad. And by taking care of them, I learned that if I take care of people, then people will love me. And I become a caretaker. And this is where codependence can be defined. But there's so many other ways. Clean up the house. Clean up this, do that. Then I'll get love. And so everybody starts chasing this, but not realizing at that age. Because today we're so busy as parents. I mean, how am I going to give attention to my children? I may, you know, buy them some toys, may send them off to here. I'm not actually sitting down and spending time so that they can feel that attention that they so much crave. That is where we start developing it. Now, whatever the trauma might be, that's where we act it out. Now, we'll act it out later so that you get to talk as a child to your parent or as an adult to your parent. But that's the door of, I call it clarity, and the gift is truth. The next one is called the door of compassion. The door of compassion, or the light messenger of compassion, by walking through this, the gift is going to be forgiveness. What do I have to overcome? I have to overcome intolerance of others and intolerance of myself. When I start to do that, I will start to gain forgiveness. It's amazing to see, just like they do with 12-step programs at this phase, they're looking at how many resentments they have towards the rest of the world. And I noticed that so many people become entitled, and they become entitled because what I call a justified anger. I was wronged when I was a child. This happened or that happened. And because of that, I'm going to get something back in return. So therefore, I have a resentment towards X, Y, or Z. Not Z, you, Dr. Z. But it's like, I'm going to have this, and what am I going to...
I can generate a lot of resentment on my own without the X and the Y.
So it's, once I can identify it, I have to have, what is compassion to understand where another person comes from? Soul drama, using psychodrama, you do role play. You're going to be able to be in that role of that other person so you can actually feel what it's like to be that other person so you can understand where that person is. There's a realization that comes from it. In processing groups, we talk. We communicate about our experiences. But when you actually stand up and look at each other in the eye, you're only a few feet away versus several feet away in a chair, there's going to be an entirely different experience in how you connect with somebody. It's far more intense. And that's where many people get scared absolutely to death of this particular model, because it's too intimate of an experience. And therefore, our ego, which is what creates our defense mechanism, say, yeah, I'm not doing that. And so I back out all the way. If you have any questions, y'all can jump in anytime now. I feel like I'm rambling.
I'm curious as to, you know, that part there and the intensity of it. And the defense mechanisms can come up at different times during therapy or treatment and this approach that you're talking about here. How do you – you can obviously anticipate that that's going to happen from time to time. How do you take what the individual's given you and still continue to use that as a resource to move forward into that process of change?
Give an example.
Like you said, if you know you're having, you know, right here 3 feet away, and you're in that situation where it becomes too real, and you become defensive and maybe even angry. You know, you kind of resort back to some of those prior tendencies to protect yourself. How do you manage that during the group process?
Okay, that's an amazingly good question. So when you do psychodrama, soul drama, many treatment centers, when they challenge somebody, they come across as confrontational, which somebody may become more defensive because somebody, they feel attacked.
Right.
So what I do is something called doubling. In psychodrama, doubling is not challenging the person about how they're coming across. It's where I'm going to ask them if I can first stand behind them and put my hand on their shoulder. And I am going to state how I think they feel, so that I am relaying similar thoughts and feelings. So doubling, I am actually being two minds, two souls with one. And this allows, one, that person who's angry to feel heard. So let's say I feel attacked. I may stand behind them. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Yes. Or hopefully they say yes. And I was like, I feel attacked. I feel like you're my mother or my father telling me I'm not good enough again. I'm going to seek to double the feelings that they're experiencing that they sometimes cannot articulate, because anger will blind me from it. And then I asked them, I said, if that's correct, I want you to repeat it. If it's not, I want you to change it. I want to give them the accountability so that they can express themselves. Once they do so, they feel heard. This is also another way to demonstrate empathy, and that's where compassion mm-hmm. comes from. So this is an exercise in empathizing. This helps other people to learn how to empathize with others, because sometimes they want to tell people what to do, and I'm like, stop. Go ahead and try to double with somebody.
Yeah, it sounds like a very effective technique. That person right away no longer feels alone and being attacked. Someone is actually there with them, and they're sharing that. So they're and if you're right with your instincts, which it sounds like you are from a lot of your experience, they're more likely to then open up. And you give them a chance to, as you say, clarify whether or not that's really what they're feeling.
What a powerful intervention there, because, you know, I think sometimes in situations and maybe not necessarily in a therapy setting, but if those defenses come up, we back off, and that's the back off card. But in order to really come back and say, hey, this is an opportunity to continue to grow and to learn and to be heard and understood, very, very powerful in the change process. That's a very, very powerful statement that you just made there. And it's incredible when people go through that very experience.
So I'll give you another example where I've had somebody want to leave group because they're like, I'm not getting what I wanted out of this. This is entirely inappropriate, et cetera. And I ask the group, not me, I ask the group members, can you double for them? And so many of the group members will go over and share how they believe that person's feeling. By the end of it, they feel heard, they feel recognized, because oftentimes the message that they heard when they were growing up is, I am invisible. Anything I say has no value. Like, I sought my dad's experience, I sought my dad's attention or my mom's, and it was always cut off. It wasn't good enough. And so feeling invisible is like, oh my God, that's right, I felt invisible. And so what have I done to maintain that same pattern going through? But then they seek to get engaged. Is it all the time? Believe it or not, over 50% of the time, yes. Yes, they do. It's pretty rare when somebody says, oh God, I feel hurt, I'm getting out of here. Because validation is so amazingly important in our society because that's how we connect. We want to be able to connect. And in soul drama, it is about building the connection with our relationships.
So we're going to hear some more about those doors of light. But before we go there, I think we have a break coming up, just a few. One thing, the common theme with all this, from what your area of expertise is, the work you're doing, is group. There's just something about that group experience.
The power of group.
The power of group.
Amen.
You could not do with individuals what you're talking about.
Correct. Yeah. You can do some doubling individually, but that's another subject later.
Yeah. And, yeah. Of course, that builds cohesiveness in the group.
Yes, when they, indeed.
And trust. It reinforces that initial leap of faith that Greg was talking about earlier. I can trust this group. I can be open. I can be real. I can let my guard down. That's where a lot of change happens. Well, Dr. Z, this is such a great conversation
always
here with Greg.
Greg.
We're going to be right back in just a few minutes.
As parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Scott Zentner. And our very special guest, Greg Greer, is here for the second time.
Thanks for having me back.
And it's just always an engaging conversation about the work he does, the approach he takes, and it's a very, very powerful tool that he uses to move people through change.
We're just sitting across from each other, and there's just something about his whole persona. It's so genuine, and I think people who work in addiction, we all play games, right? But if you're addicted, to stay addicted, you got to keep playing games, and addicts or people with addictions are very, very perceptive. They know of others. They know, you know, who can I manipulate? And they may not know this consciously, but they learn it instinctively, don't you think? And they can tell a BSer, right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and of course, if you've ever had a history of that yourself, you're pretty perceptive because not only have you done that before, but you've got formal training in it, and you do
so,
know.
I like to think Alcoholics
the games
and Addicts.
People play.
Oh, absolutely! Ooh, good book, by the way. With transactional. I think as Alcoholics and Addicts, we always complain about wanting real, genuine relationships. However, the contradiction is I'm a facade to begin with. It's a contradiction because I'm not real myself. although I'm seeking it. So it's a paradox, but the more genuine I become with honesty and learning about me, I'm able to connect with other people, whereas I could not before as an alcoholic. And the alcoholic gets so frustrated, like I used to. It's like, why can't I connect with anyone? Well, because I don't know how. I didn't know how. I knew how to connect with a bottle of Woodford Reserve, in case y'all have ever tasted any of that. It was actually, anyway. So that was, anyway, well, I think we're getting off topic here.
Well, I think something, when you're dealing with addictions, you could have something that I refer to as check out, slide out, or numb out. And just like you said, that to have those real relationships with people, it's hard. And you have more of those relationships with, you know, alcohol or a drug of choice, and that's getting to that point to be able to have those relationships, or it's a process.
You mentioned the ego, and the ego's main function is to protect the organism, right? And so we create all these defenses, many of which we're not even aware of. I suppose through therapy, people come to learn that I am doing that a lot. And some of the probably most unhealthy defenses are denial and projection. There, right. There could be times short term where that they may be effective, particularly denial, just to help you survive. But there's some real healthy defenses too. Altruism, humor. And there's some kind of intermediate ones, intellectualization, rationalization. But the point being, if you don't know who you are, these defenses are very strong, because to take them away, then you're left with this extremely vulnerable, confused individual. So defenses of any kind, even the healthy ones, if they're overutilized, they really become unhealthy, don't they?
So I will bring that up because you brought up humor earlier. I started using humor at the age of 8, and I actually started doing impressions at the age of 8. So there was some molestation in my life on my part. Well, I mean, I was the recipient, and I did not know how to communicate that. I didn't tell my parents, I didn't talk about it, and it was terrifying. So what did I learn how to do? Well, if you're old enough, my first impression, well, Paul Lynn, actually, with Donnie and Marie back in the 70s, and then Donald Duck, and then a whole other. But I used that as an entertainment process, as long as I got validation from you, because I was filled with so much fear. I would say it was shame, but I didn't know what was up. I know I did something wrong. That's what I thought. I perceived that I did something wrong, and I didn't know how to talk about it. And if I did talk about it, I was going to get in trouble. And that's usually a problem for most children when that does occur, not to speak up. So my humor, I used it throughout my life. So I do between 50 and 75 impressions and character voices that I used working in radio and some other projects out in L.A. But I used it that I did not have my own identity. And so I, you know, even dating back in the day, they were like, you know, Greg's not everything's not funny. Not everything's a joke. And when I went through treatment the first time, they actually made me wear a sign that I had impression restriction and I was not allowed to do an impression. And I, you know, after about 2 or 3 days, they said Greg didn't speak at all. And it's like, well, I don't have anything to say. I don't even know what to do. I had no identity of what was really inside of me.
Well, talk about, that's very interesting, isn't it?
Very, I mean, very.
It was just a void there, wasn't there? But entirely. Talk about some more of these doors of light. I forgot what you called them.
Well, they're light messengers.
Yeah, light messengers.
But we walk through these doors. So I was just discussing ego, which my ego took years to identify, and I can't change it or work on it until I can acknowledge it, which is part of honesty. So these doors we talked about the door of faith, and then we talked about, the truth, which is clarity. Then we have compassion. The next door is called the door of love. Now, the door of love is a beautiful door, and we're getting into what I call emotional intelligence. Earlier, we were in rational intelligence. Now, rational intelligence is the left brain, prefrontal cortex, decision-making. This is where a lot of our defense mechanisms are developed that we use. However, once we start walking through these doors, we then become to the emotional intelligence, because we start to unravel and we start to identify some of these feelings, which is a beautiful thing. We are seeking to connect the left and the right brain so that we can function direct towards what I call spirituality. But I have to be able to work both of them together. I want to be able to connect that. And there's some research on that by Dr. Juliana Legata, who wrote a book, Why Men Never Remember and Why Women Never Forget. Look that up sometime. It's a wonderful experience. And once we start going through there, the door of love, the light messenger of love, there the task is to overcome the fear of rejection. Overcome the fear of rejection. That's when I can start to have unconditional love. But I have codependency. When it comes to soul drama, we are trying to identify what is codependency. The definition is going to be an absence of a relationship with self. An absence of a relationship with self. And therefore, I will seek anything and everything outside of myself to get validation, whether it's money. If I make more money, then I'll get loved. If I'm popular, then I'll be loved. Whatever it is I need to look important with my job status, then I'll be loved. You get the message. It goes on and on. The thing is, if I look in the mirror, it's an interesting exercise I give people. I have them get a piece of paper out, and I'm like, y'all can write this down if you want. You just like, hey, write down who you think you are. I am what?
I need to write it down because right. Men never remember, right?
I know, that's right. Never. Good, quick. So it's like, I am what? I am what? I have people write this stuff down. I am what? Give me I am. I'm a good person. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm all this stuff. And they have this wonderful list to it. And then I stand them in front of a mirror, and I go, hey, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Well, they just stumble and fumble about, and they sometimes avoid it. And I said, how come everything you just wrote down on that piece of paper, you can't say when you look in the mirror? So what is it about myself that I can see or cannot see? And what is it about the visual acuity of looking at myself and going, oh, God, suddenly my entire impression of self, vision of self, is now distorted and skewed. So understand the door of love is to overcome the rejection of fear. Half the time I'm still rejecting myself, which goes back to the other door of compassion where I work to overcome the intolerance of me as well as my intolerance of others. So the gift of love is going to give us the gift of unconditional love. Now, once we go through this wonderful door, then we get to the next door, and the next door is going to be the door of humility. Excuse me. And this door of humility is a door that has the gift of empowerment. Now, if I overcome the challenge in this particular door, it's going to be standing firm in my beliefs. When I stand firm in my beliefs, I thus feel strong about myself. And this is a beautiful thing. The problem with what are my beliefs? Now, when we grow up, how many people have told us, maybe our fathers may have told us, that, you know, if you believe in everything, then you believe in nothing. So you have to find some of these beliefs and find a foundation, if you will. So once we come to this place, we then get to the next door, which is my favorite, and it's the door of gratitude. The door of gratitude has the gift of self-worth. The challenges you have to overcome is going to be overcoming the fear of greatness and not taking things so personally. So my ego, the closer I'm looking for is my ego to come down. It's called riding the raft to meet my soul. The problem is my soul has the rudder on the raft and is going one direction, and my ego is on the other side of the raft paddling. So we have two different things occurring. And so the ego is fighting against the direction of our spiritual self, because the ego is wanting self-gratification, immediate gratification. And if it's not getting it, it's going to have a temper tantrum. Well, the closer the ego gets to the soul, which is when it starts getting into the door of gratitude, it then can look behind itself, because the soul is a bright thing of light, and our spirituality that connects us with our higher power. Behind my ego is going to be this great big shadow. And that's where all our dark shame, guilt, etc. is in place with our trauma. And as soon as we turn around, we will progress. So it's human nature to have some wonderful progression, and then we just sort of slide back. We regress, and that's normal. And what's funny about us human beings is our shame. I'm overcome my shame. Well, as soon as I make a mistake, how much do I beat myself up again? Well, see, that inner child is still there. And so I'm trying to help people go, it's okay. It's okay. Love that self. Love that part of yourself, because it's okay. Whereas the person who's really strong on condemning themselves, that was one of the messages they got. They got condemned by their parents, so they match it and condemn themselves. So after the door of gratitude, we get to the final door, which is where I'm now speaking. We went through spiritual intelligence, and then we're going to get to our universal intelligence. The universal intelligence is what we're wanting to get the ego and the soul to work together. It's called co-creation. This is where the ego is in touch with spiritual self. And the book by Connie Miller is called Starve the Ego, Feed the Soul. We will not kill the ego. That's what Freud would do. That's what Freud would do. But Jacob Moreno, the father of psychodrama, no, we need the ego. You're going to have the ego till the day you die. So we need to be able to have the ego and the soul work together, co-create. It's all about creation, imagination, and allowing yourself to still play. You don't want to give that part up. And once we get to these part, hey, we're going to keep going this back and forth all through life because life is a journey. And hopefully you learn to have gratitude and joy and appreciate it.
Wow. You know, just in another great segment here with Greg Greer, I know we're coming up on a hard break here, but when we come back, I want us to be able to talk about how individuals that are listening could get in touch with Greg and potentially engage in the group process with him and how to start that process.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back here in just a few minutes on the Mental Health Happy Hour.
As a parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar and Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar and Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby, alongside Scott Zentner, with our very special guest, Greg Greer. And you know, Dr. Z, it's amazing the amount of resources and talent we have in our area of folks that are really dedicated and passionate about helping others. And hearing Greg talk about what he does, it's just such an incredible resource for this area. He's now in Delhi, working with that recovery center there. Just want to be able to give an opportunity to allow Greg to share how our community could connect with him and the different projects that he has going.
He's got a lot of energy. He's very knowledgeable. He's got a lot of creativity. And he is, underneath all that, really compassionate. What I'm hearing from all this and meeting with him before, he's always looking for another way to skin the cat, you know.
That's right.
The first way isn't working. One size doesn't fit all, and I think that's where his skill set really comes in. I'm glad you're bringing soul drama to this area. During the break, I got to thinking about this template. It really makes sense to me through soul drama to get that ego and the soul in concert with one another. And you think that tells us a lot where people are. And some of the underpinnings of what
using that same template how people develop addictions, because when there is a conflict, even if you're not aware of it, there's tremendous anxiety. And how do we feed that anxiety? How do we calm that anxiety, right?
Oh, absolutely. First, I want to thank you for the compliments you gave me. That was very kind. I appreciate the words. I want to acknowledge, when it comes to addiction, we exploring the trauma, because the traumas are there, all of these traumas that we experienced, and the anxieties, the shame that come from it, our addiction will, you know, seek to calm it down. However, from the research that I've had, not all trauma is the catalyst to addiction. So I mentioned before, having worked in the emergency room and the trauma units down in Baton Rouge, that there are a lot of people who have trauma. They do not drink. And I share that with my clients often. It's like, wow, guys, I need you to know that I'm not here to negate your trauma. It's just important to know that trauma is not the catalyst to your addiction. The reason people drink or use whatever substance it is because they like the effect produced by it. We're in a culture, Louisiana, that, hey, drinking is more than accepted. I mean, it's like a birthright, and mm-hmm. well, depending upon what part of the state you're in. And it's like, wow. So I condone it. It's okay. Make sure, you know, what's functioning alcoholic, et cetera. You know, as long as I'm not impaired or I'm not having any consequences, then it's okay. And people enable me to do whatever I want to do as long as I'm not causing any conflicts. However, I'm still creating problems. So the addiction component, going back to the trauma, seeking to have something to relax, and, you know, what do I use it for, whatever excuse I might come up with? It's because I liked it, and then it just develops into something to function. I needed to use it to function. And then it becomes fatal for the ones that I end up working with, because at that point they are using it to either die. And they won't tell me they're using it to die. They'll say, I don't care if I don't wake up the next day. Well, mm-hmm. then you're using it now to die. So congratulations. Forgive my sarcasm, but it's like, wow, no, you're there. You're just not aware of it.
You know, but earlier we had talked off the air about some of the services that you provide, the types of people you work with. You work with a lot of impaired professionals,
yes.
Doctors, nurses, attorneys, and these are people, as a general rule, aside from jokes about psychiatrists.
Oh, no, we're lots of jokes on psychiatrists.
And lawyers.
You want me to tell my top 10 psychiatrists?
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, apart from the jokes, I mean, as a general rule, they're held in pretty high esteem in the public's eyes. They seem right. to have it all together. They're highly educated. They're successful. How we superficially measure success in this country. They have the right. big house and the cars and the country club memberships. But, boy, you know, these, I bet you see some interesting stories come out. I'm sure they're very well defended in therapy. In fact, most of them aren't entering in therapy, but for the fact that they're being mandated by their licensing agency or board as a requirement for them, in the event that they've already been sanctioned or their license has been suspended, to have it reinstated. So there's a lot to lose there. But, you know, just being perfectly honest with myself, as I was going through my education, my matriculation through the years, I don't think I was motivated by anything other than not so much to succeed, but I was afraid of failure. And what do people do who are afraid of failure? They overcompensate. That's another yeah. defense, right? Or compensation.
Right. Yeah,
do you
yeah.
see a lot of that with some of the impaired professionals?
And think about that. That's the same message. What was the message I got when I was growing up? What messages did I get from my parents? So if you don't do this, you're not good enough. You don't do this. Well, I'm going to do this. You watch this. And I will overcompensate until I do so. And, to make your point, yes.
Yeah. Well, Scott mentioned before the break, it's time for you to
tell everybody.
This has gone by too fast.
Yeah. Before we're out of time, please tell our listeners how to get in touch with you and what the ways to do that are.
Well, if I could share two ways, if that's okay.
Yes.
One is the Red Hill Recovery Center, which is in Delhi, formerly known as the Mansion Red Hill. So that's one area. That's 318-402-0000. And there's a website, redhillrecovery.com. So you could go it and take a look at there. Also, with Soul Drama, which I'll do there with the clients, we call them guests there. And that with my private practice is called Voices of Recovery. So there's a website called voicesofrecovery.org, and the phone number is 318-366-2553. And I do these soul drama workshops for counselors that are seeking further training, that desire, one, certification, or they just want to walk the experience to have some new different models. And then I do the workshops also with those that are in recovery, codependents, ACOA, adult children alcoholics, and Al-Anon.
Yeah, I think it's great that, you know, one, you're being able to help those in the group setting that are struggling with addiction and wanting to have that recovery aftercare, as well as educating other professionals in the area on this method and how to connect with others and in this type of approach. And I can just see from our interaction, you know, a few months back and when I talked to you on the phone and just your the energy you bring and how you really want to be able to make this a well-known approach in our area. Just like you said, the mentor in Florida, hey, I'm bringing this to Louisiana. And it definitely seems that you are not just bringing it here, but when other people come to this area for treatment, they're taking it back out, and you're just touching so many lives in so many different ways with this work you're doing here. Just, it's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Greg, did I understand you correctly before or during one of our other breaks that the way these workshops or seminars are conducted is that for people to get certified, they actually have to participate in the soul drama
as a group member to do self-exploration. If you're not willing to work on yourself, you can't address somebody else's issues if you haven't addressed your own, or at least those are one of the philosophies that I go by. Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Hey, before we let him go, we've got to get a little bit more. He's been entertaining as well as informative, but I think he's got a couple of impressions that he might like to share with us and his audience. And
well, we talked about defense mechanisms earlier, and I almost went there. That's where I developed mine. And so we develop masks. What masks do I learn so that I can get along with people? So first of all, I developed an intellectual personality, and that personality was able to analyze and completely able to, intellectualize, justify, and rationalize all my behaviors. But as a comedian, my friend here, Bill number two, he also used to do that as well.
That's right. My name was Bill, and I just like to eat a little bit of Jell-O pudding, if you know what I mean, man. You know.
But you know, if I really want to get upset, then all I'm going to do is talk about my friend Jack. Anyway, this goes on and on and on. But some of the other favorites, since we're in radio, was, oh my gosh, who was that? Hello, everybody. This is Casey Kasem for your long distance psychiatry intervention.
Well, and I think the top hit for the week is this soul drama. I've been fascinated by this whole discussion.
It's very interesting and very powerful approach when helping others. And I think you still have, your entryway into the field, you wanted to be Dr. Fraser Crane. I still think you got opportunity to make that happen.
Well, okay.
No, it's been a real pleasure having you back. And if you'd be willing to grace us with your presence again, we'll hear about a whole new treatment.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm happy to come sit with you guys anytime.
Oh, we'd love having you.
This has been such an enjoyable hour, learning more about soul drama and having a really great conversation with Greg Greer, a local group
counselor extraordinaire.
That's right.
And a real renaissance man.
That's
too.
Right. Greg, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll see you next week on the Mental Health Happy Hour.